Mammograms are widely used for early detection of breast cancer. But a new study is questioning the value of mammography and is advising that the guidelines to have regular mammograms be reassessed. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 18th. We'll talk with a doctor this hour about this study and its implications, and we will welcome your questions about the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of breast cancer. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest, Dr. Wendy DeMartini is the Chief of Breast Imaging Department of Radiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So this latest study is, from what I understand, one of the largest ever done on mammography. It followed nearly 90,000 women in Canada for 25 years, and it found no difference in the rate of death from breast cancer from women who got yearly mammograms and those who did not. What's your response to this study?
So that's right. That's a nice summary of the overall study. This is, as you said, a study from looking at the value of screening mammography, and it was one of the larger, very early studies, and it looked at women who were having mammograms in the early 80s, for about a five-year period, was published originally. The data from these same patients were originally published in a study in the early 1990s. And in particular, this study was originally done to try and determine the benefit of screening mammography, particularly in younger women, those in the 40 to 59-year age group. And when the study was originally published in the early 90s, they found no significant difference in women who did not have a mammogram compared to those who did have a mammogram. Now, unfortunately, after that, or fortunately, given those results, there were substantial questions raised about the way the study was done, in terms of the way that women were assigned to have a mammogram versus not, and some of the quality of the mammograms, such that it has been felt by many that the study design was not sufficiently good to make conclusions from that. And in fact, that would be supported by the fact that all of the other screening studies have shown a significant benefit of mammography across patient ages.
Well, I'm actually quite surprised that that this study is getting, you know, wide attention right now, and it's something that was originally published in the early 90s based on data from the 80s.
Yes, exactly. So what they did for the new publication is they looked at the same group of women and followed them out for a longer period. So in the original study, they had looked at follow-up for approximately 10 years for all of the women. This new study follows those women out longer for about 25 years, again, trying to find additional breast cancers and deaths from breast cancer. So that was really the only change for the study. I think, unfortunately, it points to some challenges that we have right now in terms of the type of science that's getting published, especially with respect to screening mammography. And, of course, that's very unfortunate as patients and practitioners are trying to determine, you know, the best way for women to have screening mammograms.
Well, what do subsequent studies, different studies, mm-hmm. show? What is the benefit of mammography?
The benefit of mammography. So when we talk about the benefit of mammography, one of the main things that we are looking for is that we can show that women who have mammograms as a group have a mortality benefit or are less likely to die from breast cancer compared to those women who don't have a mammogram. And clearly the majority and the large group of studies in this area have shown a decrease in breast cancer deaths in women who have mammograms, and that is true even in the younger women, women in their 40s. You and probably some of your listeners may recall in 2009 there was a lot of attention given to screening mammography when one of our national guidelines groups. The United States Preventive Services Task Force issued new guidelines about screening mammography. They issued very conservative guidelines about screening, which we can talk about separately. But even that group who used very conservative numbers indicated a clearly decreased death from breast cancer across the spectrum of women. And in this younger patient group, at least a 15% reduction in terms of deaths from breast cancer when women had mammograms.
This study also noted, the Canadian study, that about more than 20% of the cancers that were found were overdiagnosed, that they were cancers that would not have resulted in death, cancers that did not need treatment, yet they were. So concluding that the mammography could actually do some harm.
Right. And that's a really, this concept of overdiagnosis, or what might be better termed overtreatment, is a really important one, because what we want to do is find cancers and treat cancers, obviously, that are going to be those ones that would go on to cause harm and death to patients. And we don't want to overtreat in terms of treating ones which would not have had that effect. So this is certainly an area of a lot of interest, appropriately so, in terms of us trying to be better about which breast cancers we treat. This particular study, in terms of coming up with that more than 20% overdiagnosis number, they based that conclusion on their assessment that first they felt that screening mammograms didn't improve mortality from breast cancer. So they sort of started with their own conclusion. And then based on that, they said that every cancer then that was found by mammogram above and beyond the non-mammogram group was an unnecessary breast cancer. So it's sort of this circular argument. They assumed that the screening mammogram wasn't useful, and thus everything found on the screening mammogram above and beyond what would have been their control group who didn't have mammogram was a relative overdiagnosis. So mm-hmm. A bit tricky. We've had, a lot of attention to this. A nice study looked at this in 2012, where they looked at the results across about 13 different studies and looked at how much of breast cancer that we're diagnosing now actually is overdiagnosis, or again, better termed, overtreatment. And the estimates are somewhere between 1 and 10%. So certainly not perfect, and we want to get better about identifying those cancers that can be treated less, but certainly not 20% as indicated in this article.
So do you think, Doctor, that this study, the follow-up that was that's in the news, should lead to a reassessment of guidelines for mammography?
Well, I don't think that this particular study should, for the reasons that we've talked about. There seemed to have been some significant flaws in the way that it was done, and thus it shouldn't serve as the basis by which we would change what we're doing for screening mammography. But we do know that it's important to periodically review all of the data about screening and reassess our guidelines. And there are two things that are going on. There are two guidelines assessments that are going on currently. One is the guidelines by the American Cancer Society, which is obviously a group that issues guidelines about a variety of different cancer screening methods and cancer detection methods. The American Cancer Society has maintained that women at average risk should continue to have annual mammography once a year beginning at age 40. So those are their current recommendations. They are in the process of reviewing all of the data again, and they'll issue new guidelines, which will probably occur sometime in this year, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then in addition, the group that I mentioned previously, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, also does a periodic review about every 5 years, and they issued their prior guidelines in 2009. So they are also in the process of reviewing all of the data and issuing new guidelines, which may or may not be different from what they have already issued.
So if I do remember having annual mammograms, yeah, in my 40s, but I thought it was maybe every other year after that, but it's supposed to be every year.
Yeah, so right now, and this is certainly a challenge, again, for patients and practitioners, there are different guidelines by different groups, everyone, you know, in general agrees on the basic premise that mammography saves lives. Having a mammogram as a group, women who have mammograms are less likely to die of breast cancer than women who don't. Everyone agrees with that, and that there's a benefit even in younger women, women in their 40s. As with any test, for mammography, there are advantages and disadvantages, and where the different groups have made their guidelines depends on how they weight those advantages and disadvantages. Clearly, the advantages of a mammogram are early breast cancer detection. When we find breast cancers early, we can treat them often with less treatment, and we know we have that mortality benefit. The potential disadvantages of a mammogram would be twofold. One is that we do have what we call false positives, so some women are asked to come back for additional testing who don't have a breast cancer, and we have to go through that process to find those who do have a breast cancer. Usually that just means coming back for some additional mammogram views, which resolve the issue. And then the other potential disadvantage of a mammogram would be that over-diagnosis/over-treatment issue, which, again, as I've indicated, is really a small proportion of cancers. So those are the advantages and disadvantages. And, again, the different major medical groups have weighted those differently. The vast majority of the major medical groups still recommend mammograms starting at age 40, usually annually, so that those groups include the American Cancer Society, the American College of Radiology, and the Society of Breast Imaging, the American Medical Association, as well as the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. So those groups all still recommend mammography starting at 40, typically annually. The group that, again, received a lot of attention in 2009 was the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force group, and that was the change for their group, wherein they said, for women in their 40s, we don't routinely recommend screening. We want you to have shared decision-making with your doctor or nurse. And then for women in your 50s to 60s, we want you to have mammography every 2 years. Otherwise, have shared decision-making with your doctor or nurse about more frequent.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's that makes sense. I think there was some shared decision-making going on there. We are talking about mammography with Dr. Wendy DeMartini. She is the chief of breast imaging in the Department of Radiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Talking with her following the recent publication of a study that questioned the use of mammography as a tool for early detection of breast cancer. Our guest is disputing some of the findings of this study, and we're talking about what women should take away from this and what should the recommendations be for mammography. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a question, a comment, or maybe an example that you'd like to share. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 23 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 18th. We are talking about mammograms. Mammograms continue to be the only way, or the most prevalent way, to detect breast cancer. But a new study is questioning the benefit, the value of this screening tool for women. Turns out that this Canadian study said that the death rates among women who have had mammography and those who did not have mammography had the same death rates of breast cancer, that it didn't do any good, that it didn't help survival rates. And we're wondering what questions you have, what questions you might have for our guest, Dr. Wendy DeMartini, who is with the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, who says that this study has flaws and that other research shows that there is indeed a benefit to mammography. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Dr. DeMartini, it seems that there is, though, a polarization going on. The media coverage of this study talked about this deep divide between those who believe that regular mammography save lives and researchers like these Canadian researchers who say that it does not. What's going on here?
Well, there has been, historically, there have been people in different camps for decades with respect to the value of screening mammography. I think that as with much of our media, the nature of media these days, because we have so many different ways that people can access this information, we have this 24/7 type of media environment, that these sorts of things, areas where there is controversy or discussion, are receiving even more intensive discussion. So I think that, again, the different camps have been there for some time. It's just receiving increasing attention, and for understandable reasons, too, because we know that breast cancer touches the lives of many, if not most of us, because it still remains relatively common. So it's understandable, and again, that women and their doctors want to better understand what they should be doing for screening.
Mm-hmm. Does the radiation that a woman gets from a mammogram, is that harmful in any way?
That is, in general, not harmful. The radiation dose is incredibly small. And in fact, when we think about historically the different potential harms that have been raised about screening mammography, the groups that have said that they don't like screening mammography have sort of changed the harms that they have claimed are important. So historically, radiation used to be something that they said was a substantial harm that has subsequently been significantly disproved. And so, again, the radiation dose is very small. It is much smaller than the dose that we use for many other types of imaging tests. And with any imaging test, we're always trying to only use radiation where we think it is beneficial. And again, the studies clearly show that as a group, women who have mammograms benefit compared to those who don't for screening. And so, again, using it in those groups of women is, again, an attempt to use it in women in whom it has a benefit.
Let's take some calls. Sherry in Franklin is with us. Hi, Sherry.
Hello. My question is, in our family, all the females so far over the age of 60 have developed breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And there's no the BRAC gene is not inherited in these six people. But I wonder how often I'm going to be 63, if I should increase my amount of time between mammograms. Right now, I have one done every year, mm-hmm. and then I also am starting to have an MRI done.
Okay.
Is this overkill, or?
Great question. So what Sherry's indicating is that it sounds like, Sherry, that you've seen someone who has assessed your risk of breast cancer and felt that you are at a higher risk of breast cancer compared to many women given your family history. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, perfect. So what we've been talking about so far is screening of women who we consider at average risk in the population with mammography. We also know that there are women who are at higher risk for breast cancer for a variety of reasons, and in particular, those folks who are at the highest risk tend to be those with an inherited gene mutation or have the suggestion that there is, again, an inherited component of breast cancer. And these types of women only account for about 10% of all the breast cancers that are diagnosed, 10 or 15%. The other breast cancers occur in women without a strong family history or a gene mutation. But we do know that in women who are at higher risk, they can benefit from having not just a mammogram once a year, but also a breast MRI once a year. So that's what Sherry referred to. So breast MRI is a different type of test. It's which folks may have been familiar with for other parts of the body. It's a big magnetic tube that you go into, and you're injected with a contrast agent or a dye equivalent, and then pictures are taken of the breast tissue. And we know that, again, in these very high-risk women, that breast MRI finds substantially more breast cancers than would have been found with mammography alone. So that is an important extra test in very high-risk women and is recommended by the American Cancer Society.
Anything else, Sherry?
No, I think you answered my question. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry, and good luck to you. So we only have a minute before news. So why the MRI is better at picking stuff up than a mammography? Is that what?
It is. So it's probably the best test that we have for in terms of being able to detect breast cancer. It, though, does have some limitations, as I talked about. We're always trying to balance the benefits and limitations. So at this point, it's not a good test for every woman to have, although we're trying to work on ways to make it more accessible to more women.
Well, we'll talk after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio about perhaps some of the prevention tools that are on the horizon, and welcome more questions from you about mammography and the diagnosis of breast cancer. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. Do you or does a woman in your life get regular annual mammograms to detect breast cancer? Do you consider them an important tool in early detection necessary for a woman's survival from breast cancer? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, February 18th. A new study from Canada questions the value of mammograms for screening women for breast cancer. The study says the death rates from breast cancer were the same in women who got mammograms and those who did not. And in 1 in 5 cases, cancers found with mammography were not a threat to a woman's health and did not need treatment at all. We are talking with a Wisconsin physician about this new study from Canada, which she says is really based on old data that has been contradicted by subsequent studies. She says that the mammogram is a valuable tool in detecting breast cancer, and we welcome your questions about this debate. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we also welcome any questions that you have about the diagnosis and prevention and treatment of breast cancer. Our guest is Dr. Wendy DeMartini. She is the Chief of Breast Imaging in the Department of Radiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And we have other callers, so let's go back to the phones. Bill in Sun Prairie is with us next. Hello, Bill.
Good morning. Great program. Thank you. I'm basing what I say on a couple of things. One is the fact that I've been studying cancer for some time, and also I was an advocate for two people in my immediate social circle. My daughter-in-law had a BRCA gene problem and got cancer in her 20s. So I think, number one, that this genetic testing should be done earlier and more often for women. Number two, a friend of mine, very close, had an aggressive form of breast cancer, triple negative, and she got regular mammograms, and I was in a front row seat with her throughout all her therapy. And what I've observed is that, number one, the mammogram reader did not detect the tumor early enough. She had to find it herself in the shower. And so reading mammograms really count. The other thing is the amount of radiation and the problems with it seems very controversial. Dr. Samuel Epstein out of the University of Illinois believes that in the premenopausal breast, even a 1 rad of radiation increases breast cancer by about 1%, and it's cumulative over the years. Lastly, and this is a question, us men can have a prostate-specific antigen test, PSA. I'm wondering if there's any way that women can get a similar blood test, simple blood test, to detect breast cancer. I know that's a lot. And
it is a lot, but that's okay. We got a lot of time. Do you want to start from with that last question
sure.
first?
Great. And Bill, thanks for sharing those great points there. So the last question was, is there any blood test or anything similar to the PSA test that men can have? Which is a great question and certainly something that is an area of intense investigation. That's not the case currently, but there is a lot of work ongoing to try and find some serum or blood markers which would indicate to you that there was at least the higher possibility of a breast cancer and allow you to go ahead and proceed with a workup to try and make sure to determine whether a breast cancer was or was not present. So we're not there yet, but there's a lot of good research going on in that area.
All right. And, just because he didn't ask, but is there, I promised before news to talk a little bit about things that are on the horizon. That's one of them. Anything new when it comes to early detection?
Another great question. So with respect to early detection, one thing is that bringing it back to the study, this Canadian study, I want to remind everyone that this Canadian study was using what was the standard at the time then, which was a film screen mammogram, sort of like an old-style actual film photograph. And since then, we have essentially transitioned to a new standard or way of doing mammography, which is digital mammography, which was shown in the mid-2000s to be better, particularly in younger women, so those under the age of 50 who were pre- or perimenopausal or had the denser breast tissue on a mammogram. So for reasons of better performance in those women as well as some operational advantages, now we essentially all do digital mammography, which is better at finding breast cancers, especially in younger women. We now have on the horizon an even newer modification on mammography, which is a digital mammogram, but it's a sweep of that mammogram through the breast that we then can make into thin slices and look at on our monitors, a little bit more like as we would look at a CT scan. And that allows us to decrease some of that tissue overlap that we have with mammography. And that tissue overlap is a cause for us both of what we call false positives, or asking women to come back for things that are not breast cancer, as well as some what we call false negatives, where the mammogram can't show us the cancer because of tissue overlap. So this digital breast tomosynthesis is very much, it's FDA-approved. Increasingly, sites are offering it. We have begun to perform it here at the University of Wisconsin Health Breast Center. So that is certainly something that you'll be hearing more about. And the studies coming out of Europe, which have done these large screening studies, have shown that with this digital breast tomosynthesis, we both decrease our likelihood, our false positive rate, and we also increase our cancer detection rate.
Mm-hmm. What about the observation of anecdotally of our caller's friend who found her own lump, but it was not detected by mammography?
Absolutely. And we know that mammography is important for the reasons we've talked about, but it still is imperfect. So it will find across the broad patient population, it will still find most breast cancers, but because of the limitations of the test and things like this tissue overlap and breast density, it still can't find all breast cancers. Now, this digital breast tomosynthesis shows that we can increase the ability of mammography to find breast cancers. It will never likely be an absolute test in terms of being able to find all cancers, which is a reason why, in addition to screening mammography, women should have a regular doctor or nurse and have a clinical breast examination, which, again, based on their age, may be annually or...
Yeah, and if you have one of those performed annually by your physician, how necessary is the self-exam in the shower? Is that something that's still recommended?
It's not recommended. And so, for instance, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force specifically said they did not recommend breast self-exam, and the American Cancer Society says that it is not required. What they recommend is what they say is breast awareness, so having a general sense of how your breasts feel so that you notice if something does feel different. But the studies haven't clearly shown that doing breast self-examination decreases your likelihood of dying from breast cancer, and they have shown that it does tend to increase your likelihood of having a false positive, finding something that is not a cancer that needs to be worked up. That said, I think it's a very personal decision. There are some women who like to have that opportunity, and the American Cancer Society does say, again, it's optional, but not specifically recommended or required.
Our caller also specifically named a Dr. Epstein, who thinks the radiation from mammograms is or could be harmful, especially, I think he said, in postmenopausal women.
The caller was mentioning, I'm not familiar with the doctor to whom he referred. He was talking about radiation risk in premenopausal women, so the younger group of women. Certainly, again, we're very sensitive to the issue of radiation, and we only want to do it when it does seem that the benefits outweigh the risks. We know that those risks are incredibly small, so I don't think that the radiation issue should be a disincentive for women in terms of making their decisions about screening.
And the guidelines right now say start at 40. Why is 40 the place to start?
Well, by necessity, it has to be somewhat arbitrary. Mm-hmm. So there's not, you know, a biological change at age 40. But in general, we know that the likelihood of breast cancer increases as we get older. And so for a variety of reasons, it was decided that that would be the point at which mammography was reasonable to be started in average risk women. Again, when you have to establish age thresholds at some point along the continuum.
Mm-hmm. And I think finally, if I got all of our caller's points, he thought that genetic testing for this gene should be done more frequently in women, maybe even routinely.
Well, and I think that's a very good point. I think that the historically the somewhat newness of the genetic test made it such that women may not have been aware that it existed, but now we have a lot more experience and knowledge with the genetic testing. And so if women think that they are at elevated risk, they absolutely should talk about that with their doctor or nurse and ideally be referred to somewhere where there's a risk assessment clinic, as we have, for instance, here at our UW Breast Center, because a risk assessment clinic can look at a spectrum of things with respect to your family history. And there are guidelines after that risk assessment as to which sorts of patients would best benefit from this genetic testing.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of callers now are familiar with this, and I am not. BRCA gene?
That's right. So there are, of the hereditary mutations that are associated and felt to cause breast cancer, there are two that are both related that we call BRCA gene mutations or BRCA gene mutations, and they're called BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations. They're different sorts of mutations, but they both are very strongly associated with developing breast cancer, particularly at earlier ages. So women who have this BRCA1 gene mutation have perhaps an 80% lifetime risk of breast cancer, which is obviously very high, and women who have a BRCA2 gene mutation have maybe a 40% likelihood of breast cancer over their lifetime, again, which is also very high. So these particular women fall into a very high-risk categories and really benefit from genetic counseling and a discussion of all of the potential things from which they might benefit or that they should consider if they know they have this gene mutation. And those range from how intensively and what tool should we use for screening, so to detect breast cancer. Should these women consider having some sort of prevention for breast cancer, such as what we call chemo prevention, for which there's tamoxifen medication that some women elect to take. You and your listeners, again, certainly have heard of cases, too, where particular women, it's a very personal decision, but decide to have what we call prophylactic mastectomies to remove the breast tissue so that they are very unlikely to develop a breast cancer down the road. So there's a whole lot of things that these women with these gene mutations should think about, including not only the breast, but also there'll be some discussion of the management of potential ovarian cancer as well, because these two gene mutations are also associated with ovarian cancers.
Now, I doubt very much I have this gene, but I don't know. I have no family history of breast cancer, really far back, as far as I know. But that doesn't mean I'm off the hook. That doesn't mean that I can't get breast cancer.
That's right. So we know that about, as I said, 10 to 15% of breast cancers occur in these women with this very high genetic or family history risk. The remaining breast cancers occur in women who don't have a defined genetic or family history, and those are usually, again, unrelated to a genetic or family history. It's not just that we haven't identified it, that it truly is not a genetic or family inherited abnormality. They're what we call sporadic. And our main risk factors for getting a breast cancer in terms of being in that group are being a woman and getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And so those do account for the majority of breast cancer.
Because of the hormone fluctuations?
Exactly, because of the hormones that we are exposed to over our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We are talking about breast cancer and the use of mammography to detect breast cancer in light of a study that was recently published and has been getting a lot of attention. That study cast doubt on the value of mammograms. Our guest is casting doubt on that study. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a comment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dr. Wendy DeMartini. She is Chief of Breast Imaging in the Department of Radiology at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. John in Sumner is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. I just thought process. You know, if we know that cancer can be caused with radiation and trauma, both of which mammogram has the radiation and the trauma with the pressing of the breast tissue. So if a woman started at 40, and in 10 years, she would have 10 traumas and 10 radiations. At age 60, she would have 20, both traumas and radiations. Might thermography be a better option for a screening test?
Thanks, John. Thanks for your question. So John's asking about a test which is called thermography, which is a test that looks at the way that the breast emits heat as a potential indicator of breast cancer. And it's a test that there was much interest in several decades ago in particular, and there was actually a trial of it in the 70s or 80s, and the trial actually was discontinued because the test was not sufficiently good at finding breast cancer. So thermography is certainly not a test that's part of the standard or recommended set of tests for detecting breast cancer. You will find sites out there that are performing it. It's approved by the FDA as safe, but it's not supported by any data nor any guidelines or major medical organizations in terms of being a test that women should undergo to find breast cancer. It just is not sufficiently good at finding breast cancer.
Thanks very much, John, for the call. Let's go to Cindy in Cedarburg next. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead with your question, Cindy, or comment.
Oh, I just have a comment regarding self-examinations. I stress that every woman should learn asking their doctor what to look for in their breasts. There's different fibroids. I have like really thick tissue, so it's really hard for mammograms to find anything. And actually, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I found the lump myself 2 months after I had a mammogram. And it was because of the where it was positioned on my body. It was up against the chest wall and deep inside the breast. And it was very fortunate that I found it because it was at stage two already. And again, this was 2 months after I had my mammogram. Had I waited a whole year, who knows, you know, what that would have turned into. But nonetheless, I'm the first person in my family ever to have breast cancer. So it's not anything genetic. And, again, I just highly recommend that women learn, you know, how to, they should learn about the bodies, basically.
Yeah. But, Cindy, thank you so much for calling, and I'm so sorry for...
But I'm 5 years cancer-free, and I'm very, very happy, so...
That is good. That is the good news. Again, sometimes the mammogram doesn't see the cancer doctor, DeMartini.
That's right. Again, thank you, Cindy, so much for sharing that with us, and I'm so glad you're doing well. Cindy's points are excellent. As I said, the mammograms are important, but imperfect. They're not going to catch everything. We're really working on ways that we can improve our ability to detect things early with our imaging tests, but we still need to come back to those supplemental things. And I like Cindy's idea of discussing the breast self-examination with your doctor or nurse. And again, getting back to that concept that the American Cancer Society recommends, which is being aware of your own breasts and how they feel so that you can notice a difference. And if you elect to, again, do the breast self-examination, understanding how to do it and do it well. So that's really important. Thank you.
We have just a little bit more than a minute to go here. George in Monroe emails asking, do you know the screening policies in other countries with national health insurance like Canada or Germany? If these countries have high rates of screening, what does that suggest about the medical advisability?
What the medical policies are with respect to screening?
What the guidelines are in other countries.
Yeah, they tend to vary a bit. Some begin starting screening at 40, some more at 50, and again, some do mammography annually and some do it every other year, so there is some variability across the countries in settings where, again, the mammography is paid for in general by their governments.
Yeah. So, for women listening now, or men listening for that matter, what is your takeaway from this study? What do you think they should remember? Who might be questioning what to do?
I think that we should all remember that clearly mammography has been shown to save lives in women in their 40s and 50s and 60s and early 70s. We know that it comes with advantages and disadvantages, and those should be considered when you're making your decisions about screening mammography. But we want to remember that, again, it clearly has been shown to decrease breast cancer deaths, and it's unfortunate that this study is causing yet more controversy given its limitations.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Wendy DeMartini is with the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.